All right, you may be seated. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua. And we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Okay. And as you guys are looking up that verse, I just want to welcome our students back. Hopefully you guys had a good summer. For those of us who are visiting our church for the first time, I want to welcome you. My name is Ben, one of the pastors here. And I pray that as you embark on this journey, if you're a freshman, that God will really lead you to a church that you can really plant yourself in. Not only our church, but there's so many wonderful churches near the campus and churches that preach the gospel and is trying to live out what it means to follow Christ. And I pray that as you check out different churches, that the Spirit of God will really speak to you and that you can really plant yourself in that community for the next 4 years or however long you're going to be here. And that you can not only be part of that church, but really grow through that church, and through that church that you can really advance the gospel if you're a student on our campus. And so we're so thankful that you're here and really pray that you will be blessed through our time together. Okay? All right, so this is the beginning of a new season of ministry, and I know for our working adults, it doesn't necessarily feel like a new season because you've been at work. You're still at work. Tomorrow you're going to be at work, right? But it's a new season because many of our members are students, and you guys are starting a new year. And even for our family, it's a new season. I feel like we're entering into. Our kids are getting older. If you weren't here during the summer, we're just coming off of a personal sabbatical and entering into this season. And then as I've been kind of praying about this upcoming season, a couple weeks ago, I did a prayer trip up to Colorado Springs and just praying in the mountains because that's where God lives, right? So going up to the mountains, hiking, praying, just really trying to seek God's heart for myself as well as for our church. And I've been thinking about this new season and the direction that God is going to lead us. And I was really praying, okay, God, what is it that you want us to start off with, really focusing in on? And when I was praying for that, this thought, I guess, came into my mind. And more than a thought, three words, actually. First of all, it was courage, and then conviction, and compassion. And then as I was spending time in prayer, it just kept on coming up in my heart over and over again. Courage, conviction, and compassion. And so I just felt like maybe that's what God was directing our focus towards as we start off this year. And so today we're going to be talking about courage, what it means for us as Christ followers, as well as our church, to have courage. And then next week we're going to be talking about conviction. Not only do we have courage, but through that courage that we can really live out the convictions that God places in our hearts. And then the Sunday before we do our theme week and introduce the theme for this year, we're going to talk about compassion. And not only really having that courage and conviction, but living those things out as people of compassion, that we can go forth to continue to shine the light of Christ through those around us. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about this topic of courage. And so with that in mind, let's go ahead and read Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. Okay? All right, this is the word of God. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and from this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Okay, this word courage. So when we think about courage, I'm wondering, what are some things or maybe pictures or experiences that kind of come to your mind? And I know that there's many different stories, many different examples that we can use, but because the Olympics are going on, in light of that, I thought about some people that are engaged in Olympics, the Olympians. And first person I thought about was Simone Manuel, right? She was the first African-American woman to win gold medal in individual swimming event. I think she's from Houston, right? And just the journey that she went through to in being a minority in that sport and hopefully paving the way for others. I think about Michael Phelps. This is one name that my youngest, he's going to turn 3 soon. I don't know where he picked up the name Michael Phelps, but every time we turned the TV on and started watching the Olympics, the first word that came out of his mouth was Michael Phelps. And then if it wasn't swimming, he was demanding, when is Michael Phelps going to swim? But anyhow, Michael Phelps, right? And I don't know if you guys know a little bit of the background story of him coming into the Olympics this year, of how he, after the last Olympics, really struggled with finding purpose and meaning in his life. And he struggled with substance abuse and was caught with DUI and actually had to enter into rehab. And I think the story goes, when he was in rehab, Ray Lewis reached out to him, gave him a book by Rick Warren called Purpose Driven Life. And that really turned things around for him, and this is going to be his last Olympics. Or maybe the opposite of that is we have, right, the lack of courage to tell the truth, or at least to bend the truth to your advantage. Or maybe you think a little bit on the global scale. You think about someone like Malala. Story of courage of standing up to the Taliban and what she represents. And there's countless lives that we can talk about. And I'm sure within your own lives, there are stories of when you really had to muster up courage within yourself, maybe a certain situation that you faced. And I was thinking about just even my own life. I mean, there's many different periods of my life where really I had to muster up courage to do certain things or to face certain people and so forth. But I think one of the scariest moments that I faced in my life up to this date is actually when I had to face my future in-laws, right? I knew that I wanted to propose to my wife, and so I had to talk to her parents. But that thought is just very scary. Not that they're scary people, they're very nice people. But just the fact that I was going to go into the ministry, and at that time they just weren't really keen on it. Even though I'm Korean-American, my Korean isn't that great. And I wanted to try to impress them. And I was brushing up on my Korean, but nothing was happening, right? And so I remember calling them up, asking them to see if we can have dinner together. And I remember getting myself ready for that meeting and just going into the bathroom and staring at myself in the mirror and just talking to myself and trying to brush up on my Korean and asking them, can I marry your daughter? I must have tried on like so many different outfits that my roommates were probably thinking like, where are you going? Like, what are you doing? I was so scared. I didn't know what they were going to say. James Neal Hollingworth, he defines courage in this way. He says, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. Right? I really like this definition. That courage, when you think about it, is not the absence of fear. That when you think about all these stories and scenarios of people having to express courage in their lives, it's not because somehow that they were able to go beyond their fear that they didn't have any fear in their lives or their hearts. But rather, it's the judgment that something else is more important than fear. And as Christians, for us, that something else is what? It's the gospel. That Christians, for us, that something else is the reality of who God is and who he is in our lives and what he means. And so in today's passage, we see the importance of God's calling on Joshua, specifically his call for Joshua to be strong and courageous. We're going to go a little bit into the background of the story, right? We're not going to go too deep, but a little bit. Verse 1 starts off by saying, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun. So if you know anything about the Old Testament, and if you know anything about Moses, you know that he delivered the people of Israel from bondage, from Egypt. And not only that, but he was leading the people of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. And so he's been a great influence over this group of people. And not only that, but he was actually the voice of God to the people of Israel. That as God was leading them through the desert, God communicated his desires for the people through Moses. So when in verse 1, when the writer indicates after the death of Moses, it's not just this man died and then we move on, but it's a significant moment. Not only in the lives of Israel, but in Joshua's life as well. Because Joshua was not only a personal aid to Moses, but it was almost like this father and son relationship where Moses was his spiritual father. He was someone that he looked up to. He was someone that followed. He was someone who showed Joshua what it meant to worship. And so when this man passes away, God comes and he speaks these words into Joshua's life. And when I think about Joshua, I think about the biblical stories of Joshua. I often think about this warrior, this man of God who goes and conquers the promised land. But I think this picture, it doesn't really paint a man who's confident. Because we see in verse 6, God says to be strong and courageous. And just to make sure that Joshua heard him, again in verse 7, he says, only be strong, and not just strong, but very courageous. And in case Joshua needs to be reminded again, God says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? So Joshua is saying it's not a suggestion. Be strong and courageous. And we see God breathing courage into Joshua's life. And I think this is what we need as a church. This is what I need as a pastor. For God to breathe courage into us. You know, one of the things that I want to do for our church, and I'm going to do my best to do, is to recalibrate and to refocus our eyes on the gospel. And I know we know what the gospel is, but I feel like as a church we need to come back, and I've shared this last week, to not only understanding of what the gospel is, but every single day how the gospel influences our lives. Every single day, even in the small choices that we make, how the gospel transforms our desires, how it transforms our thinking, how it transforms the things that we are aiming for in our lives. And when you think about it, it's not easy because the demands of the gospel, it's not easy. You know, I heard someone recently say that if you want security, you're not necessarily going to find it in the gospel. And what this person was trying to allude to is that when you think about what the gospel is, the promises of God for our lives, is there eternal security? Yes. Is there security in the Father's love for us? Yes. Does that mean every single day that we live our lives on this earth that we're going to be pain-free? No. Does that mean that we're never going to struggle? No. Does that mean that our prayers are always going to be answered? No. The reality of the gospel that's lived out in our lives, that's not easy. Because the gospel confronts us in our weakness and sin. Because the gospel challenges us in our understanding of what it means to live our lives. Because the gospel challenges the core values that we hold on to. It challenges our identity of where do you find your worth in. And so in order for us not to go along with the flow, but to stand against the lies that we see and to stand for truth, it's going to take courage. So I want to talk about three observations of courage real quick, and then after that we're done. Okay? Three observations of courage. So first observation about courage that we see in these verses is simply this, that courage is birthed through our obedience. That courage is birthed through our obedience. It's interesting because when I read these verses in the past, I always thought about this verse in terms of God breathing strength and courage into Joshua's life. But in fact, before that, the first thing that God speaks into Joshua's life is what? In verse 3, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go. And so, in other words, what this word is telling us is that courage and strength is lived out in the context of our obedience. So God is telling Joshua, okay, I want you to go. I want you to fulfill the promise that I gave to Moses. And as you are going and as you are living out what I am commanding you to do, as you step out in faith, I'm going to breathe strength and courage into your life. You know, I still remember moving into the dorms my freshman year. I had two other roommates. They weren't believers. Not that I was really strong in my faith, but I knew that I had to share the gospel, even that language, right? Like, it's not like I wanted to, but I had to share the gospel because I thought that's what Christians do. And so I remember thinking, you know what? Gosh, like, I don't necessarily want to like rock the boat. You know, you get that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're stuck in that room for the whole year. There's three of us. And so I didn't want any like weird vibes. So I started by like leaving little clues, like I would leave the Bible on my desk and I would open it up to certain passages and I would try to pray in the room. Not that, you know, I try to only pray when they would walk in, oh, he's praying, and then leave and he must be a Christian. But, you know, I try to do little things like when we went out to eat, I would try to pray before meals in hopes of them asking, Ben, what must I do to be saved? But that never happened. And so I was asking God, God, give me the courage to share my faith. Right? What's it going to take? I don't know. Left all these clues. But give me the faith. Excuse me. Give me the courage to invite them out to church. And so I kept on praying. God, give me courage. Give me courage. But every time I saw them and every time I wanted to share, I never felt courage rising up. And so I remember praying this for a while. And by this time, I joined a church and I was part of a fellowship and so forth. And I remember sharing this with one of the older guys in our fellowship. Oh, can you pray for my roommates? I'm asking God to give me courage to share the gospel. And then we come back together next week. Oh, how was your week? Do you have any prayer requests? Oh, can you pray for my roommates? I'm asking God to give me courage. And so it was this recurring theme over and over again. And then sooner or later, one of them stopped me and said, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, instead of you waiting for God to give you that feeling of courage, maybe what God is wanting is for you to step out of faith. Step out in faith first, and as you step out in faith, that God will fill you with courage. And I was like, what? Right? I mean, that thought never occurred to me. I thought I needed courage to be able to live out my faith. God calls Joshua to arise and go. And he doesn't give conditions to Joshua, right? It's not, okay, Joshua, if you feel prepared, then do this. But it's go. And we don't know how Joshua was feeling. My guess is probably inadequate, a little bit lost. But God says, as you go, I will fill you with courage and strength. And I'm wondering if that's going to be the same for all of us. And I know that this is not a radical new concept for some of you, right? Living in obedience. And I'm not necessarily talking about living in obedience in terms of, okay, you come to church and I tell you what to do, right? I tell you all the good things, like you got to be nice to people. You can't do bad things, like don't do drugs. Don't vandalize, right? Like don't steal. But I'm talking about obedience in terms of really following after God's heart. And really thinking about what he is leading you to do to represent who he is on this campus, for those of you who are students. And in our city, for those of you who are working. And maybe for some of our students, if you've never shared the gospel with someone, maybe this is the year that God is going to create opportunities for you to share the gospel. Same thing for those of us who are working. Maybe the struggle has been to step outside of our comfort zones. Or maybe to step out and envision bigger of how God can use you. And maybe this is the year that God is going to lead you down that path. Maybe some of you, this is the year that God is going to confront certain shortcomings and sins in your life. And that's tough when God comes and starts rummaging around in here, right? But it's going to require courage to say, wherever you lead, Lord, I will follow you. And the funny thing is, even as you step out in faith, there's no guarantee that what you desired, that's what God's going to do. Finally, I mustered up enough strength to say something to my roommates. And I don't even know if they understood, like, what the heck I was trying to say, right? Something about rah, rah, rah. They're like, what? Do you want to come to church? That's pretty much what that conversation turned into. And they didn't. At least not in that first invitation. But God encourages us to take that step of faith, to believe and to trust in him anyways. And not only is courage birthed in our obedience, but the second thing that we notice is that courage is rooted in God's promises. And we're going to be done real soon, I promise. Okay? Courage is rooted in God's promises. I think it's really interesting that even as God calls Joshua and says, okay, you're going to go, you're going to do what I asked Moses to do, but obviously he's not there anymore, so he's not going to be able to carry out the promises. And so as you lead the people, I'm going to strengthen you, I'm going to encourage you. But it's really interesting that as God begins to command Joshua to be courageous, he doesn't necessarily list like, okay, Joshua, be courageous because you qualify for this in this way. Right? He doesn't tell Joshua when you were 16, you killed a wolf. Like when you were 18, you did this. And this is your resume, Joshua. Or he doesn't tell Joshua it's because this is your skill set. But I think it's interesting that God points Joshua, what? Back to God himself and back to his promises. Even in verse 2, when he says to, now therefore arise and go, he says what? Into the land that I am giving to them. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I promised to Moses. Not because you're able, but because of the promise that I made. And he says what? Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. It's not dependent on Joshua or the people of God. But God says, I'm going to root your courage back to me. And it's going to be my promises that's going to continue to sustain you. Right? I was thinking about it. For some of you, it's going to be for the first time where you're actually going to start making decisions for yourselves. Right? You're no longer going to have your parents around to tell you, all right, it's Sunday morning, you got to go to church. For some of you, you're going to be walking into environments where it's going to be very hostile to your faith. Some of us, throughout this upcoming year, we're going to face temptations. We're going to face things that's going to pull us away from the commitments that we've made, or maybe even pull us away from the love of God. And in all those situations that we're going to face this upcoming year, that God would say, what? Courage. Not because you're good enough. Courage, because I am faithful. Because your courage is rooted back into the promises that I have made over your life. That God would say that even if you walk away, that he would still speak courage. Because even if we fail, God will never fail. So not only is courage rooted in God's promises, but let's finish with this. The courage is ultimately sustained through our worship. The courage is sustained through our worship. So God calls Joshua to be strong and courageous and to go. And then in verse 7, he says what? Just to repeat himself, only be strong and very courageous. Not just courageous, but very courageous, right? And then he says what? Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What God is telling Joshua is simply this. The only way that you're going to be able to succeed in what I am calling you to do, to lead my people into the promised land, is by what? Observing the law. And so when you think about what God is telling Joshua to do, it's not just, okay, I got to memorize the Bible. But in that context, what God is speaking to Joshua about is what? Worship. So as we come to God and as we relate to him through our worship, that God says, I will continue to sustain you. That I will continue to empower you. That I will continue to flame or fan into flame within your heart this courage every single day to follow after my will and my desire for you. It's going to be our worship that's going to sustain us as we experience bumps along the way. Even as God warns Joshua in verse 9, he says, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Things that will frighten us, things that will dismay us. God encourages Joshua to come back to the law, to come back to the book, to come back to me, to come back to my relationship, to come back to worship, to come back to this practice of constantly
recentering your focus on me.
That courage is sustained through our worship, right?
Courage, it's birth through obedience, rooted in God's promises, and it's sustained through our worship.
So the one thing that I want to leave with us is simply this. To place our trust in God because He is the source of our courage. To place our trust in God because He is the source of our courage. Okay, I'm going to ask the band to come and we're going to close out our time together. If you can go ahead and rise with me. Thank you for sitting there. And you know, when I think about it, this topic of courage, it has to go beyond just, okay, that was an interesting talk. It has to go beyond just, okay, that means I need more courage for my life this upcoming semester. And what I'm hoping and praying for all of us, and maybe it might not necessarily happen today, and that's fine, because this is going to be a journey that God is going to bring us through. But one of the things that I'm really convicted about our church, and this is something, regardless of whether you like it or not, I'm going to be praying for you that every single day that you will be confronted with the reality of what the gospel is. I mean, when you think about it, that's the only way that our lives will be transformed, right? Because the vision and the mission of our church is what? Transformation, transforming lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. And I think I've come to a point in my life and in my ministry where you can't necessarily place that desire of transformation within the hearts of people. Right? I used to think that, you know what? Maybe if my sermons are clever enough, maybe if it's like funny enough, maybe if it's engaging enough, maybe if we sing the right songs, maybe if we have the right atmosphere, then somehow that we will be able to impart this heart of, you know what? I need transformation. But that can only come from the Spirit of God. And I think that reality can only be awakened within our hearts as the gospel is constantly spoken forth. And that's all I want to do. And if you decide, if you're visiting our church and say, you know what, I'm going to keep coming back to this church every single Sunday, all you hear is the gospel, and you're thinking, okay, are we going to talk about anything else besides the gospel? My answer is going to be no. Because it's the gospel that's the beginning place, it's the gospel that's the middle journey, and it's the gospel that's the end point. And it's the gospel that's going to transform your life. It's the gospel that's going to set some of you free from your struggles. It's the gospel that's going to challenge you so that when you think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that it's no longer going to be, well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ if I go to church on Sunday. Or if I read the Bible, if I do or say the right things, or if I reach out to people. No, you're a follower of Jesus Christ if within your heart that there is this reflection of the light of God that shines forth. And when you think about what the gospel is what? Courage that God speaks and breathes into our life. Courage in terms of not, all right, right? Like when my kids were learning to swim. All right, have courage and then throw them into the water and see what happens. No, the gospel is not that kind of courage, right? When you think about it, actually the gospel is awesome because what the gospel tells us is that God has already made the way.
that God has already died for your struggles. That when you feel hopeless, that God has already paved a way. So that even though temporarily you might be hopeless, that there is this eternal hope that is waiting for you. And every single day, the love of the Father will walk with you. The gospel brings courage into our lives because the gospel tells us that there is absolutely nothing you can do to save yourself. And Christ went to the cross to die for your sins. And it's courage because all of us are like Peter. That we don't have enough strength speak up. But Jesus says, I love you anyways. The gospel is courage because God breathes his freedom into our lives. And it's the freedom to worship. It's the freedom to reach out to people who are different from you. It's the freedom to say no to sin and yes to the desires of God. It's freedom to say, even in my struggles, that God is giving me strength and passion to be able to minister to others. And if you're sick of it, that's going to be it. That's going to be our primary focus for this upcoming year. That I want all of us to experience every single day the reality of the gospel. And God would speak courage into all of your lives. And it's through courage that we will be able to walk, not by sight, but by faith. So let me go ahead and pray for us. Father, we thank you for this time together. God, I thank you for our church. I thank you for leading us. I thank you for molding us and shaping and guiding our lives. And I'm not sure, God, what every single one of us that we're longing and desiring to experience for this upcoming year. But I pray, God, that more than a good year, more than maybe success in our studies, more than finding good friends, more than success in work, that we will desire you. That you will be the center of our lives, that you will be the center of our church. And that we're going to believe by faith, God, that you're going to cause us to walk on this path that even though it might not be the easiest path, it's going to be a path that will lead to building of your kingdom over our lives and our church, over this campus and in this city. And that as we step out in faith, asking you to do great things, I pray that you will breathe your courage into us. Courage that will be birthed from our obedience, God. Courage that will be rooted in your promises for our lives. And courage that will be sustained through our worship of who you are. So set us on this path and this journey of wanting to experience and to know and to live out more and more of what the gospel is. And making the gospel known, God, on this campus, in this city, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to fellow students, to the nations, God. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus for those who might be struggling to find that courage in their lives, for whatever reason, whatever struggles, I pray that you will come and that you will speak courage and strength. Do it, Lord. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we close out our time, we want to spend a little bit of time in prayer. If you're new to our church, we are a church that believes in prayer. We believe that God is calling us to be a house of prayer. So we want to spend a little bit of time in prayer. This is how we're going to do it. First of all, I want to give you a little bit of time just praying for your own lives for this upcoming year, whether you're a student, whether you're a working adult. Maybe as I've been talking about this topic, maybe there are specific things that resonate within your life and within your heart, and you're saying, gosh, I really need courage in this area of my life. Maybe for others of you, you're not sure what this year holds. But ask God to breathe His courage into you so that as He leads you, that you will be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. That in your circumstances, that God will breathe His hope and His love. So pray for that. So pray for yourselves. And then after a little bit, I'm just going to ask us to pray all together for our church, for our campus, and for our city. That we will be a church that will call others to experience the power of the gospel. And we're going to ask God to breathe that courage into us so that we can live out this vision of transformation for this upcoming year. Okay, so not for too long, but for a little bit. Can I just invite you, however you feel comfortable, if you want to pray silently, great. If you want to pray out loud, great. If you want to be standing, great. Seated, great. However you want to pray. Let's pray and let's ask God to breathe His courage into our lives for a little bit, okay? Let's pray for that together.